The various traditions and lineages of Buddhism disagree with one another as much as the different branches of Christianity do, or, for that matter, as much as people's different understandings of Unitarian Universalism do. Now, these various traditions and lineages do share many things in common, of course. And one of these is that all Buddhists, no matter what specific tradition, vow to take refuge in what are called the three jewels, or the three treasures. Now, I'll get back to what those are in a moment. First, I want to look at what it means to take refuge. The dictionary defines refuge as the state of being safe or sheltered from pursuit, danger, or difficulty. You can trace its roots through Old French, where it meant a hiding place, back to the Latin word refugium, where with re meaning back and fugere meaning to flee. In other words, the root understanding of refuge is that it's a place we can flee back to, come back to, over and over again, and be assured of finding safety. Now, in addition to my usual online research, this week I called out to my Buddhist Facebook friends and asked them, through their context, what refuge means. Those who responded agreed that this is pretty much their understanding of it as well. I asked one if it's about refuge from the distractions and illusions that flesh is heir to. And he sagely replied, yep. One of the articles I read put it like this. The English word refuge refers to a place of shelter and protection from danger. What? Danger? We seek shelter from the passions that jerk us around, from feeling distressed and broken, from pain and suffering, from the fear of death. We seek shelter from the wheel of samsara, the cycle of birth, death, and rebirth. One of those things that essentially every Buddhist, in every Buddhist tradition does, is take refuge in those three treasures, which are the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. Saying that I take refuge in the Buddha, I am saying that I turn to the Buddha for shelter. I can mean the historical incarnation of the Buddha in young Prince Siddhartha, roughly 26 centuries ago. I could also mean the concept of the Buddha nature in which all things share. I could also be talking about a commitment to seeking out the Buddha within. For, according to some traditions, each and every one of us is, right now, as we are, right now, already a fully enlightened Buddha. Most of us just don't know that yet, and few of our family and friends would confirm it. To take refuge in the Buddha could mean any or all of those things. So what it boils down to is that a Buddhist recognizes the Buddha to be a source of shelter and safety from the bombardment we all too often find ourselves under. Similarly, Dharma can be understood in a number of different ways. It can mean the specific, particular teachings of Shakyamuni Buddha, the deepest and most profound wisdom wherever it is found and however it is expressed. That spectrum. Taking refuge in the Dharma, then, is saying that when I am in danger of stepping off the middle way, I will seek safety in wise teachings. The third of these refuges, refuges, the Sangha is the one that I find most interesting, especially in the context of this community this morning. The Sangha is the community. And that can be as specific as the particular people with whom you practice, all Buddhists, or even all sentient, even all non-sentient beings. That this is one of the three jewels surprised me. Maybe it's because the stories and images I knew best depicted the Buddha alone, on his own, sitting beneath the Bodhi tree, for instance. I don't know if any of you share this perception with me, but I have always thought of the Buddhist traditions as a particularly solitary path. So that's why I was more than a little surprised to learn that one of these three jewels that all Buddhists commit to taking their refuge in is the Sangha, the community. That the community is on a par with the Buddha and the teachings. They're seen as equally important and are understood to be equally efficacious as a place of shelter and safety. This is a community. It's a human community, of course, and we humans do not always live up to, into, or out from our best selves. Yet at our best, the members of this congregation, from the longtime formal members to the newest recurrent newcomers, at our best, the people who make up TJMC make up a community. And one of the things that's promised of the beloved community we strive to be is that we too can turn to this community as a place of refuge from the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, if you will. Those slings and arrows that we find flying towards us with, at times, frightening frequency. When we as a community are at our best, we provide shelter for one another. And yet, there's something that I have to let go of if I want to help form this congregation into a true community. It can't all be about me. It just can't be all about doing what I want to do when I want to do it in the way that I want to do it. It can't even be about getting all of my needs met. Because, simply put, you're here too. You're here and you have needs and wants that need to be fulfilled. And your wants and needs won't always be the same as mine. It's possible that they'll hardly ever be the same as mine. It's possible that your needs and my needs will conflict with each other. And when we bring that person and that other person into the equation, it becomes less and less possible for everything to be done the way I would do it, or that everything I want or need will be done at all. This is nothing new, of course. This is no great revelation. We all know that it's not all about us. We all know, to borrow a phrase, we can't always get what we want. We know this. We say this. And yet, it's also true that the first time something doesn't go my way, or the first time that I feel a real need of mine hasn't been met, or met in the way I thought it should have been, I forget all that stuff about it not being about me, because gosh darn it, in this instance, it should be. After all, even though we all know that it's not supposed to be all about us, shouldn't my wants and needs matter too? Now, let me just take a minute to say that I feel pretty certain there are some people who are thinking that I'm talking about them specifically. And I feel certain that there are people here who think they know who I'm talking about, what group or what person. And I'd be disingenuous if I said that I didn't have some specific examples in mind as I wrote this reflection. Yet it's important to be clear that I was also thinking about examples in my own life, times when I've forgotten the "it's not all about me" mantra. And believe me, there have been plenty of those times, and actually a few that are going on right now that I wasn't even aware of came to mind while I wrote. The deep truth is that if we are honest with ourselves, none of us is immune to forgetting from time to time that while my needs are the most important thing to me, they might not be the most important thing to the community. The Apostle Paul said in one of his letters to a fledgling Christian community that they should understand themselves to be members of one another. Not members with one another, but members of one another. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We belong to one another. I belong to you. You belong to me. And we both belong to that other person over there. There's a hymn in our hymnal, number 317, which we'll sing at the end of the service. It's called, "We Are Not Our Own." We are not our own. The Vietnamese poet, peace activist, and Buddhist teacher, the Venerable Thich Nhat Hanh, created a term to express this deep interconnectedness. He says that we inter are. We belong to one another. We are part of one another. Our very being depends on each other. We cannot exist. At least we cannot exist in deep, life-changing, world-changing community without one another. More than simply being interconnected, we inter are. And that means that when I come to this community, one of the things I most fervently want, one of my own deepest desires, is that you get the things that you want and need. One of my deepest desires, deepest needs, is that you find your needs and desires fulfilled. Even if that means that I don't get what I want and need. This way, when things go your way and don't go mine, I actually have gotten something that I wanted. I got your getting what you wanted. Of course, I certainly hope that I will get my way, at least some of the time. My wanting you to find what you want and need is only one of my own needs. And I'd be pretty foolish if I were to stick around too long if things never went my way, if I never got my needs met. Yet there is a corollary to my wanting you to get what you want and need, even if at times this means that I don't get what I want and need. The corollary is that at the same time I'm thinking that about you, you're over there wanting the same thing for me. And true, even if you have to give up some of your assumptions and expectations. And again, that other person over there is hoping that the other person who's over there, it goes around and among us all, each of us deeply desiring the best for the other. Each of us remembering that our own needs are only part of the story. Last week, I talked about an aspect of the beloved community and said that it's a vision of a community in which no one is considered less, no one is considered other. Each is recognized for the gifts they bring. Each adapts to the other because we're all kin. Well, this morning, I've offered another way of looking at it. Beloved community being a community in which we know ourselves to be members of one another who belong to one another. The beloved community is one in which our needs are balanced with and integrated with those of everyone else. A community where we inter-are. Where we recognize that our very being depends on the being of others. A community which, for many, we already are. A community I have no doubt we can ever get closer to. A community in which we can indeed find refuge.